Good afternoon. I am Tim Tompkins, and every Saturday you can get your health questions answered on News 104.5 WOKV on Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. And this week we are talking about atrial fibrillation, otherwise known as AFib. We're also going to discuss cryoablation, a relatively new procedure you may not have heard of. We are joined by Dr. Sippens, a cardiologist and electrophysiologist with St. Vincent's. 340-1045 is the number to call in if you have a question for the doctor. Again, that's 340-1045. Dr. Sippens, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Tim.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. So AFib is something that affects so many people. And then you have an amazing practice with St. Vincent's. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do and what St. Vincent's offers as far as AFib is concerned?
Yes, we have the Atrial Fibrillation Institute, which is an institute that was created 8-9 years ago, which is focused on the treatment of atrial fibrillation. And our particular expertise in performing ablations in patients with atrial fibrillation. We have used in the past, and we still are using, radiofrequency energy ablation, where we use heating to create scars in the left upper chamber that heal the AFib. And now, most recently, we have started to use cryoablation, which is a balloon that delivers freeze applications and treats atrial fibrillation very successfully and in a much shorter period of time. So we have been extremely excited about that.
And I'm wondering, why is the cryoablation, what about that is making it more effective?
Well, I have to explain a little bit more about the mechanism of atrial fibrillation to understand how we actually treat and cure atrial fibrillation. So atrial fibrillation, first of all, is a very common arrhythmia. It's the most common arrhythmia in the United States. There's 5-6 million Americans that we have it that we know about. There's probably more that we don't know about. It actually originates from the left upper chamber in the heart called the left atrium. And there are muscle fibers that extend from the heart, which is a muscle, into the pulmonary veins. The veins bring blood from the lungs back to the heart, and these muscle fibers cause very rapid heartbeats, 500-600 beats a minute, that will cause AFib. So AFib is a chaotic rhythm in the top chambers where multiple electrical wavelets wander around. What we do with the ablation is that we electrically separate the muscle fibers in the vein from the rest of the left atrium, and we can do that with, as I stated before, with the radiofrequency energy, where we heat it up and create a tiny rim of scar on the veins that cure AFib. But it's a catheter that we have to move around point by point, so it takes more time. And the newer technique with the balloon allows us to do this much quicker, because we put the balloon right at the point of where the vein comes into the heart, and there's four of them, and we move from vein to vein and do a freeze application and fix it, and we can do it much quicker. It takes us around 2 hours to do it with the traditional technique, and we can do it in an hour and a half with the balloon technique. So it's much quicker and much more effective. We've seen better results in terms of long-term outcome, and patients seem to be tolerating it very well.
The number to call is 340-1045. Again, that's 340-1045. If you have a question for Dr. Sippens, and so we had been talking a little bit off air before the show started, and you had brought up something which I found really interesting, that it used to be that the first thing you should do is to treat it, manage it, and then try and cure it. But now it seems like you try and cure it before managing it. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, The problem with atrial fibrillation is the risk for stroke. And so if we can prevent the occurrence at all and cure the AFib, obviously the stroke risk is going to be dramatically reduced. Before we had ablation treatment, the only treatment we could offer to patient is special medications called antiarrhythmic drugs, which suppress AFib, but they don't cure it. That way we try to prevent the AFib from occurring, but we were not able to cure it. With the ablation treatment, we have been able to do this, and we have been very successful, very effective with it. In fact, we have become one of the major centers in the state of Florida. We are the second largest volume center doing these ablations with 3 operators. We are now receiving patients from outside of our metro area that come to us because of our success rates, low complication rates. And I think in general it's been very effective in curing AFib. If we look at the guidelines, initially the recommendations were to treat patients with an antiarrhythmic drug, a special drug designed to suppress AFib. But the latest guidelines now offer ablation treatment as a first-line option, and particularly in younger patients, that is a much better solution since they don't tolerate the medications very well.
And as far as the medication, well, I guess before we start on that, the different kinds of medications, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the reason for the risk of stroke and maybe blood clots too a little bit. So what exactly happens with AFib that causes strokes?
The problem with atrial fibrillation is that if the heart is in atrial fibrillation, it quivers. The top chambers quiver very fast and there's no effective flow of blood. And because of that, clots can form. And they like to form in a little pouch in the left upper chamber called the left atrial appendage, where the flow rates are already lower than in the rest of the left atrium. And that's where the clots like to form. These clots can dislodge. They can go into the main artery in the body, the aorta, and then the first branches that branch off the aorta go to the brain. So these clots go into these arteries and then go in an artery in the brain, close it up, and cause a stroke. And that's the main risk of atrial fibrillation. And so that brings me to another important treatment, which is the treatment with blood thinners. And so we look at the risk or a stroke based on risk factors and determine whether somebody should be on a blood thinner.
Okay, and why is it – are all blood clots the same? I know that you had just mentioned that AFib causes blood clots, and I had heard that some blood clots can be potentially life-threatening. Are the ones with AFib life-threatening apart from the risk of stroke or
– Yeah, I mean they are life-threatening because a stroke is obviously devastating. Mm-hmm. If you have a stroke, you could be paralyzed on one side. You may not be able to talk. And you could ultimately die. It's a very serious problem, and we are looking at this in every patient. My first decision making is to see whether they need a blood thinner. I mean, that's the first thing I do when a patient gets referred to me by a primary care, one of our own cardiologists, is to look at their risk profile, and put them on a blood thinner if necessary. There are other blood clots you may be referring to which develop in the legs, in the veins of the legs, which can travel to the lungs and cause what's called a pulmonary embolus, which is a clot in the lungs, which is also a life-threatening condition. Mm-hmm. But that's on the venous side of the system. We're talking about the arterial side.
I got you. The number to call if you have a question is 340-1045. Again, that's 340-1045. I read that a lot of people, when they're dealing with their AFib, that some of them, when they don't necessarily want to get on the medication, so they might take an over-the-counter such as aspirin. Is something like that effective in the treatment of blood thinning, or do you strongly suggest with the vast majority of people maybe to take actual blood thinners?
The older guidelines did recommend the use of aspirin, particularly in patients with a low risk for stroke. But the latest guidelines really don't see a major role for aspirin. Now, aspirin is an important drug in prevention of heart attacks, but not so much in terms of prevention of stroke in patients with atrial fibrillation. So if we look at the risk factors for stroke in atrial fibrillation, it's high blood pressure, it's congestive heart failure, diabetes, age, prior stroke, and vascular disease, which could be coronary disease. So there's multiple risk factors. Age plays an important role. The older you get, the higher your risk is. And most people in my practice that I see are candidates for treatment with a blood thinner.
Okay. The number to call is 340-1045. Again, that's 340-1045. AFib seems like something that would be difficult sometimes to self-diagnose. I know that the body can have many different heart rhythms, and we're talking about something that makes your heart rhythm disruptive. And I'm wondering, what are some signs that you can look out for that maybe you have AFib?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. What we see is patients typically have palpitations. They feel their heart fluttering, an irregular heartbeat, irregular pulse, and that's the hallmark of atrial fibrillation. However, there are, I would say, around 15 to 20% of the patients I see with atrial fibrillation that don't feel that at all. The downside of that is that they don't know they have AFib, and they may come in later when they have a stroke. Or they may come in when the AFib is a lot more advanced than it would be if we would have known about it in early stages. But that's the main symptoms. The other symptoms you can have is shortness of breath, particularly upon exertion. You might, in more advanced cases where the AFib has been around, people don't feel it, the heart's racing for weeks or months, they can develop heart failure. So you would have then symptoms of swelling of your legs, edema. You get shorter breath more easily. So there's various types of symptoms. Tiredness and fatigue can also occur when you have atrial fibrillation, where you don't feel like doing anything because the heart's always racing. So those are sort of the most common symptoms that we know.
Okay, well, we do have a call already. Joe, who has been waiting so patiently on the line. Excuse me, Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm sorry to say I've got AFib too, but I was diagnosed and I've I've had one doctor tell me to stay away from caffeine. Another one tell me that it's no big deal. I've talked to other people that have it too and that can't feel it. I can feel mine. But I was just, what's your views on caffeine and salt? I think salt has set me off a few times too.
Well, I mean, there are certainly stimulants that can trigger AFib. Caffeine is one of them. Alcohol may be another one. It is very different from patient to patient, I have to say. Some patients develop atrial fibrillation when they're exercising, when they're active, when they're anxious. Some people develop atrial fibrillation overnight when they're sleeping. So it's really variable from patient to patient. But I would say in general that any stimulant like caffeine would not be a good thing to consider when you have atrial fibrillation. I typically recommend to drink decaf coffee to my patients.
Yeah, and I've noticed that salt had a burger at a place, and I think it was heavily salted, almost instantaneously sent me into it, and eating chocolate. I've noticed even chocolate. So just for the listeners out there, too, if you've got it, I stuff to stay away from that you normally wouldn't think about.
Right. I think salt would make you accumulate fluid. And that might change the volume status in your body and in the heart and cause some stretch in the left upper chamber, which could trigger AFib. But it's not something I hear on a common basis.
Somebody gave me a salted pork at Christmas or something like that, and it tasted really good. But it's like, you all of a sudden start feeling it within a few minutes. So.
Well, I would say in your situation, probably stay away from salt. It's also good. Not to do that if you have high blood pressure, which is a very common risk factor when patients have atrial fibrillation. It's also good for your heart just to be low on salt.
What about fish oil?
Well, fish oil is fine. It doesn't necessarily help preventing AFib, but it certainly would help preventing building up plaque in your arteries.
Well, thank you so very much for calling in, Joe. We really do appreciate it. Have a very good day. We have two other callers on the line, and I don't think that we have time just to get to them quite yet. So Nelson and Charlie, please do stay tuned. We will get to you in less than 6 minutes. Our topic is AFib. Our guest is Dr. Sippens. Our show is Ask the Doctor, and we are taking your phone calls. If you have a question for the doctor, the number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 340-1045. I'm Tim Tompkins, and this is Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's and News 104.5 WOKV.
The field of candidates deepens as the race to the White House heats up.
After months of all but acting like a candidate for president, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is finally ready to make it official.
Keep listening for breaking updates and analysis on Jacksonville's election headquarters, News 104.5 WOKV.
There's no place like home, especially when you're not feeling well. Only one hospital system in the region is now offering patients online check-in for emergency room and walk-in clinic visits, with the added convenience of being able to wait from the comfort of your own home. St. Vincent's has made the process easy. Simply visit waitathomeer.com and schedule your visit. When you arrive, we'll see you within 15 minutes, not hours. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
Dear management and staff at St. Vincent's,
there are not enough ways to thank you for all the work you did to save my life.
Your staff really delivered on your mission, above, beyond, because.
These are actual letters our nurses and associates received from their patients at St. Vincent's.
You're here to help patients, not just to collect a paycheck.
My grandchildren also thank you for saving Papa. That's me.
Tell us about your experience at jackshealth.com. St. Vincent's Healthcare, above, beyond, because.
You trust News 104.5 WOKV for breaking news, accurate weather, and traffic you can depend on. But you can trust us to deliver results for your business, too. Every day, WOKV provides our advertisers with solutions for their business. We make the phone ring and increase the foot traffic. Here's Lester Jackson of SafeTouch Security.
I recommend WOKV to a lot of other businesses here in town, and I believe they do a great job. Well, I tell you, the staff here at WOKV has been phenomenal. They always meet our needs.
News 104.5 WOKV reaches hundreds of thousands of listeners. And with today's headlines and economy, people are listening to WOKV closely and often.
Now, I've been with WOKV for about 15 years now. They've done a great job on our marketing and advertising and creative. And I think that in the future, we'll continue to work with WOKV because of this. spectacular job they do.
To grow your business and get the results you've been seeking, call General Sales Manager Bob DeBloy directly at 245-8732. News 1045 WOKV. Your business can depend on it.
Global Diamonds didn't come to Jacksonville just to be another jewelry store. We came to offer you a radically new, better, smarter alternative. It starts with one of the largest diamond inventories in America, up to 30 times what you'd find in ordinary stores. And these are not run-of-the-mill diamonds. These are hand-picked straight from the world's best diamond cutters and certified by the most respected lab in America, the GIA. Then, we added never-before-offered warranties, like a nationwide price protection guarantee, a 30-day no-questions-asked return policy, free service on any ring for life, and an extraordinary 110% upgrade guarantee. All this plus trained diamond experts who don't sell you. They educate you on how to buy a diamond like a dealer buys. The truth is, Global Diamonds is making old-style jewelry retailing obsolete by giving consumers here something you never had access to before in Northern Florida. Isn't it time you discovered Global Diamonds? Jacksonville's direct diamond importer. More choices, better value. At the Markets at Town Center between West Marine and REI.
You know what goes so great together is that new car, that new Toyota smell and hot summer savings. They're happening now at Arlington Toyota. June is here, and that means days at the beach, road trips, and saving big time at Arlington Toyota, where hot summer savings are sizzling. It's Rich Jones. How about this for hot summer savings? Lease a new 2015 Corolla LE for as low as $229 a month with zero down. Get your hot summer savings on now at Arlington Toyota. Lease a new 2015 RAV4 XLE for as low as $299 a month with zero down. Talk about hot. Lease a bold 2015 Camry SE for as low as $259 a month with zero down. Grab your hot summer savings today at Arlington Toyota. See dealer for details. 10939 Atlantic Boulevard and online anytime at arlingtontoyota.com, where they are a proud supporter of Take Stock in Children. Visit TakeStockInChildren.org to become a mentor today.
WOKV First Alert Forecast.
Today is going to be a hot day with a high temperature of 88 degrees. It is a 7 on the WOKV weather meter. There'll be a few showers and storms mainly for inland areas late this afternoon, developing on the sea breeze. Otherwise, mainly dry conditions, especially closer to the beaches. Tonight will be mild and muggy with a low of 69 under partly cloudy skies. Once again for today, a hot day with a high of 88 degrees and just a few showers and thunderstorms for inland areas after 3 o'clock. From the Action News First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Aaron Clanahan, News 104.5 WOKV.
Good afternoon, and if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Ask the Doctor on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. Our topic is AFib, our guest is Dr. Sippens, and again, our show is Ask the Doctor. The phone lines have already been lighting up, and Nelson has been waiting on the line so patiently from St. Augustine. Nelson, how are you doing today? No, Nelson, let's go to Charlie, who has all. Charlie has also been waiting on the line patiently. Charlie in Fleming Island, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing wonderful, thank you. So you had a question for the doctor.
Yeah, I do. Thanks for taking my call. I realize today's topic is AFib. I've been diagnosed with a different sort of arrhythmia, and that is ventricular tachycardia. It's unsustained. And it's been, very few and far between, I'd say once or twice a year, and then it disappears after about, 5 or 6 seconds. It's been identified and essentially rendered insignificant. However, my question is this. If this does become a significant problem for me in the future, do you think that ablation, which is the procedure you mentioned earlier, would be an option for something like VTAC or ventricle fibrillation, please?
That's a very good question. I mean, ventricular tachycardia originates from the bottom chambers of the heart, the ventricles, and it can originate from the right ventricle or the left ventricle. The risk for sudden cardiac death is something that happens when you have this type of arrhythmia, but only if the heart is weaker. So I don't know if you've had a prior heart attack or not, but if you have a weak heart, that's concerning. If your heart's structurally completely normal, and that can be demonstrated with an echocardiogram or a stress test, then the risk when you have non-sustained, which is short, few seconds episodes of ventricular tachycardia, is very low. There are treatment options. Usually we use medications to treat it. Beta blockers are very effective. Sometimes we use antiarrhythmic drugs. But certainly ablation is possible. But I would say if it happens so infrequently, like in your situation, I don't think that's necessary, assuming your heart's completely structurally normal.
Okay, great. Well, that's a great cross-check because my cardiologist indicated the same. I am not a professional athlete or anything, but I do run about 10 miles a week, and he did put me through a stress nuclear stress test and an echo, and it was all normal. So, but I was just curious that in case the thing developed into something of more significance, if that might be a possibility. So.
I think you're doing absolutely fine. Keep on running, keep exercising, eat healthy, lose weight if necessary. I mean, do all the right things to minimize your risk for coronary disease.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. We really do appreciate you. And I do believe that we have time for one more call. We're going to go ahead and go to Paul over in St. Augustine. Paul, you've been waiting so patiently. Again, thank you very much. You had a comment about AFib.
Yes, yeah, sure. Hi, this is Paul in St. Augustine. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
And as I listened to everyone's comments and the symptoms of AFib, I had them all. I was on Maltec for about 10 months. And then I learned about ablation and St. Vincent's Hospital and Dr. Magnano. And he corrected the AFib with the ablation. I just want to share that with the doctor.
I appreciate your comment. Dr. Magnano is one of the three doctors that do the AFib ablation, including myself and Dr. Oza. We've been doing this in a joint fashion. We all are in the Atrial Fibrillation Institute treating patients with AFib. Our outcomes are excellent, and I share your thoughts. The medications are just not working in some people. I mean, when the AFib advances over time, I'm talking about years, the drugs become less and less effective. We have multiple drugs that we can use, but at some point, and I see a lot of these patients, they get referred to me when nothing works. And then the only outcome is to provide the ablation and cure it.
Well, it changed my life. It changed my life completely. I haven't had it since. I've gone back to a normal life. So I would encourage folks to look into that to see if they are a candidate for this procedure.
No, that's really great. I mean, I love to hear it. Thank you much for the comment, Paul. That's fantastic. That's exactly what we're doing the show for and why St. Vincent's is doing such great thing. Again, our topic is AFib. Our guest is Dr. Sippens. Our show is Ask the Doctor, and we are taking your phone call. So if you have a question for the doctor, the number to call in is 904-340-1045. I'm Tim Tompkins, and this is Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's and News 104.5 WOKV.
Through a lot together.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery.
That test our strength.
You know, the best 3 years of my life was third grade, but it did teach me how to read.
But we know how to work together.
Guess what day it is? It's WOKV Day.
Ow! I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Like I knew that I would.
Jacksonville and News 104.5 WOKV.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Funeral services held in Wilmington, Delaware today for Beau Biden, son of Vice President Joe Biden, with President Obama delivering the eulogy.
He did in 46 years what most of us couldn't do in 146.
The president said that while Beau Biden was very much like his father, he was also an original. Beau Biden will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery.
Fox Radio's John Decker. Biden served 2 years as Delaware Attorney General and was a member of the National Guard. It's been 37 years since horse racing's last Triple Crown winner. American Pharoah tries to end that streak today. Trainer Bob Baffert.
It takes a superior horse to do what he's done so far. And so he just needs to bring it one more time.
There's been some off and on rain early today, especially in the morning, but the track is drying out. It should be fast for the Belmont Stakes.
Fox Radio's Ron Flatter. American Pharoah is the odds-on favorite to win. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Jacksonville. 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. News 104.5 WOKV.
There's no place like home, especially when you're not feeling well. Only one hospital system in the region is now offering patients online check-in for emergency room and walk-in clinic visits, with the added convenience of being able to wait from the comfort of your own home.
St. Vincent's has made the process easy. Simply visit waitathomeer.com and schedule your visit. When you arrive, we'll see you within 15 minutes, not hours. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
Dear management and staff at St. Vincent's,
there are not enough ways to thank you for all the work you did to save my life.
Your staff really delivered on your mission. Above, beyond, because.
These are actual letters our nurses and associates received from their patients at St. Vincent's.
You're here to help patients, not just to collect a paycheck.
My grandchildren also thank you for saving Papa. That's me.
Tell us about your experience at jackshealth.com. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
If you have a backyard, we can put a pool in it. All Seasons Pools. We can put a pool in it.
All Seasons Pools builds high-quality pools and stands behind every pool they build, just as they have for the past 34 years. At AllSeasonsPools.com, you can design and build your new pool. No matter the challenges of your backyard, All Seasons Pools can design the custom pool of your dreams. Call 877-410-POOL or go to AllSeasonsPools.com. The pool of your dreams is just a call or click away at All Seasons Pools. With over 30 years of experience building pools in Florida, All Seasons Pools has seen it all. They can make your backyard come alive with a gorgeous pool that your family will love for years to come. Call 877-410-POOL or go to AllSeasonsPools.com now. That's All Seasons Pools. To build your new pool. At All Seasons Pools, if you have a backyard, we can put a pool in it. All Seasons Pools.
The WOKV First Alert Forecast.
Today is going to be a hot day. High temperatures in the upper 80s, low 90s for inland areas. It's a 7 on the WOKV weather meter. A few showers and thunderstorms will develop on the sea breeze this afternoon. They will be very widely scattered, though, and they will be for areas west of Highway 301. Tonight, mild and muggy with a low of 69 under partly cloudy skies. Once again, for today, a hot day. Temperatures in the upper 80s and lower 90s for inland spots. Just a few showers and thunderstorms after about 2 o'clock. From the Action News First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Aaron Clanahan for News 104.5 WOKV.
Now the latest from the Safe Touch Security Traffic Center.
Taking a look at the traffic maps, you have a delay-free drive leaving downtown on 95 southbound. It's less than 15 minutes from the I-10 all the way down to the Beltway on the south side. And no worries on JTB eastbound heading out to the beaches from 95 over the intercoastal to A1A is 13 minutes. But watch out in Mandarin on San Jose Boulevard northbound. You still have that crash at Ricky Drive, and FHP is still reporting all northbound lanes are blocked. For an alternate route, you can take Old St. Augustine Road. With Jacksonville's only Saturday traffic, I'm Danny Marie.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program for its editorial content. Statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group. Rich Jones and Jacksonville's Morning News, 5 to 9, tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes.
Monday, catch up with what's going on. Breaking news the moment you get up. Weather and traffic so you can plan your day every 6 minutes in the morning.
Our Ask the Experts weekend continues with Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor. Brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. To ask a question, give us a call at 340-1045.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Ask the Doctor on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. Our topic is AFib. Our guest is Dr. Sippens, and we are taking your phone calls. The number to call in is 340-1045. And we do have George, Dean, Bruce, and Nelson, who have all been waiting so patiently. But just before we go ahead and get to those questions, I had a question for you, Doctor. When you select someone for ablation, how does that procedure happen?
We basically do the procedure in what's called the electrophysiology laboratory. It's a cath lab. It's all minimally invasive. There's basically little puncture holes where we get into the veins. We don't go in the arteries. We go in the veins, in the groin. And if we look at the cryoablation procedure where we use the balloon to apply a freeze burn to the veins in the heart in the left upper chamber, we basically put a total of 3 catheters in the heart. One catheter is actually an intracardiac ultrasound catheter that sits in the right atrium in the right upper chamber, which allows us to visualize what we do inside the heart when we manipulate the balloon catheter into the left upper chamber, the left atrium. Before we can do that, we have to do a transseptal puncture. We basically cross over from the right upper chamber to the left upper chamber, and we go through a tiny little membrane. So we use a needle that sits in a long plastic tube, and we visualize that with ultrasound, and we also use X-ray to do that. On top of that, we have a 3D mapping system, which is like a GPS system that allows us to recreate the actual anatomy of the heart, and particularly the left atrium and the pulmonary veins. So we create a computer model of the heart, so we know exactly where we are, and we can minimize the use of X-ray. Once we are in crossed over left atrium, we put the balloon in, and the balloon goes in each of the four pulmonary veins. Most people have four veins. Some people have five. Some people have three. And the balloon sits in that orifice of the vein, the proximal part of the vein that sits close to the heart, and we deliver the freeze energy for 3 minutes. Usually it's two applications per vein, and once we're done, we check and make sure the veins are electrically isolated and the procedure is completed. Once everything's completed, the catheters are removed from the heart. We put pressure on the groins, and the patient would stay overnight in the hospital, go home the next day.
Some of this technology right here that you were just describing to me just completely and utterly blows my mind. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they go about doing so?
It's very easy to get a hold of us. Just call our office, which is right next to St. Vincent's on King Street. The phone number is 388-1820. You can either do a self-referral and specifically ask for a referral to me, Dr. Sippens, or you can get referred by a primary care physician or by another cardiologist. Either way would be absolutely fine.
And that's at St. Vincent's in Riverside?
That's St. Vincent's Riverside. I also have a practice at St. Vincent's Southside. It's the same number, and just have them direct you to the Southside office. I'd be happy to take any new patients there as well.
And just before we get to George's phone call, what was that phone number one more time?
The main phone number in Riverside is 904-388-1820.
Fantastic. And George, thank you so much for waiting. You're from St. Augustine, and how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I'm 83 and no diabetes. I've had a double heart bypass in 94, and then in 05 I had a stent added. And I have had, in the past couple of years, had AFib occasionally. Right now I'm in AFib and A-flutter both at the same time, I guess. I did have in April a cardioversion that lasted 13 days. And now I'm thinking about doing some drugs to alleviate it, or maybe then get another cardioversion with the drugs to see if that does it before I go into the ablation. But what's your recommendation, doctor?
Well, you mentioned a lot of new things that we haven't discussed yet. Let me explain first. So you mentioned you have also atrial flutter. And atrial flutter is an arrhythmia also from the top chambers. Usually it comes from the right upper chamber, the right atrium, and it's an electrical impulse that rotates around the right side heart valve. When we do the ablation for AFib and patients have atrial flutter, we would actually take care of that doing the same procedure and also ablate that as well. Cardioversion is another treatment option, which has been around for a long, long time. Basically, it relates to shocking the heart while patients are asleep and sedated back to a normal rhythm. And it's certainly something we do when patients are in AFib all the time, which occurs if you're in a more advanced stage of AFib. Let me just back off a little bit and tell you about how AFib progresses over time. So initially, it's paroxysmal. It's you go in and out. It's very sporadic. And then over time, it becomes more and more frequent until you get to the next stage where it becomes persistent. At that stage, you're in AFib all the time, and you have to be shocked out of it in order to restore a normal rhythm. If you want to stay in a normal rhythm, you have to be on an antiarrhythmic drug that maintains a normal rhythm, which is what you were talking about. If you don't do that, you go back in AFib. So I think it is fine to, as you asked, to do that. The question is whether the medications that they will put you on are strong enough to keep you in normal rhythm. Unfortunately, at your age, we cannot offer the ablation treatment because it would be too high risk. And it sounds like you have a very long cardiac history as well, open heart surgery twice, stents put in. So in that situation and your age, the ablation is unfortunately not an option, but there are many medications we can use called antiarrhythmic drugs that might be effective in maintaining a normal rhythm. I assume you're also on the blood thinner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So are you on a Coumadin or warfarin or a new blood thinner?
Coumadin and a quarter aspirin.
Okay. Yeah. And aspirin in your situation would be definitely appropriate because you also have coronary artery disease. You have had open heart surgery. Have you thought about the new blood thinners, or have they been discussed with you at all?
Not yet.
No. Okay. We tend to prefer the new blood thinners because they are much easier to deal with. You don't have to measure your labs. You don't have to worry about interactions with your diet or other drugs. So they are actually a lot better in terms of day-to-day life.
Yes.
Are they planning on another cardioversion with you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they're going to do the drugs, and then if okay. that doesn't work by itself, then right. do a cardioversion.
Okay. Well, like, I mean, I'd be happy to, you know, look at your whole situation. It's hard for me to judge that over or on the radio show. I'd have to look at all the details. If you want to like a second opinion, just let me know.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for the phone call, George. Thank you so much for the phone call, George. I really do appreciate that. Dean, who has been waiting so patiently in Orange Park. So, Dean, you're having an increased heart rate after eating. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'm curious as to maybe people may be mistaken in the increased heart rate after a meal because the pulse increases, the blood pressure increases in order to divert blood to the digestive tract, especially after a high-carb meal, it's noticeable. And I'm just wondering if that might often be mistaken for some type of arrhythmia by the patient.
I'm not aware of what you're describing. Everybody is different, but I haven't really heard patients develop arrhythmias following a meal. Usually it happens if arrhythmias occur with exercise or strenuous activity or anxiety when they're stressed out. But, you know, arrhythmias can happen at any given time, and it's very different from patient to patient. Just like I said with atrial fibrillation, where people develop it whenever they exercise, or you can be sleeping and wake up in AFib. So it varies a lot.
So you've never heard of the increased heart rate and pounding after a heavy meal?
No, I have never actually heard that, quite honestly. I mean, I hear a lot of different stories from patients. Everybody's different, like I said. But sometimes what we see that people have just a increased heart rate. Their natural heart rate is faster than what we normally see. They're concerned about that. The primary care physician notices it. We see the patient, but it's just a variability in terms of the heart rate. Yeah, everybody's different.
Yeah, it's something that happens to me occasionally. And years ago, I saw a doctor about it. He said it was a lot of people experience it, but it's nothing to worry about, that it's just some people's reaction are more pronounced than others.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Dean. We really do appreciate that. It does sound like everybody is just different in that area. We have another caller coming up, Bruce, over on the north side. And I find this a really interesting question. Thank you so much for joining us, Bruce. So your wife has developed AFib, and there might be a medication that's causing it. And it seems like this might be something that's more common. But, Bruce, you want to explain just a little bit more to the doctor about what your question is exactly?
I don't have time to do the whole story, but she was treated for lung cancer successfully, it appears, which caused radiation pneumonitis, and then they put her on the prednisone. She's had an awful lot of prednisone over the last year and a half. Not too long ago, she developed AFib. They caught it while she was in the hospital for something else. And we're told that it's probably prednisone-induced. And I was wondering, you know, is that true? And if so, will that go away when she gets off from it? And how do you know without stop taking the medicine?
I'm not aware of prednisone-induced atrial fibrillation, but I do know that when atrial fibrillation occurs, it usually occurs in a stressful situation, which could be certainly if she has lung cancer, the treatment for lung cancer, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, there's a lot of stress on the entire body, but particularly the heart, which could trigger AFib. We see atrial fibrillation a lot of times occur when people have had surgeries or they're very sick, have pneumonia. So that could explain why she has AFib. The other question is if she has risk factors for AFib. And the most common risk factors are obesity, diabetes, sleep apnea, and being overweight. So I don't know if she has any of these risk factors, which could also contribute to developing atrial fibrillation. The other risk.
She was doing just fine with weight, never had diabetes in her life. She's now developed diabetes, and they say that that is probably prednisone-induced also. And when she gets off of it, it will probably go away. And, of course, being on the prednisone, you put on weight like a linebacker.
Right. No, I agree. And then does she have hypertension, high blood pressure?
No, we got the exact opposite problem. It barely gets above 100.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like she has a lot of risk factors for atrial fibrillation, but it doesn't mean you can't develop it. Is there a family history of atrial fibrillation as far as you know?
No, there is not. She's shaking her head no at me now.
Because yeah. That's not something that a lot of people know, but there is a 40% higher likelihood if you have a family member with atrial fibrillation for you to develop atrial fibrillation yourself. So we don't know which gene predisposes for atrial fibrillation, but there's a very strong family history. In fact, in my practice, I have three siblings that I've treated for atrial fibrillation that all have AFib.
Okay. Is there anything else you were interested in, honey?
Well, thank you so very much for calling in, Bruce. We really do appreciate you, and best wishes to your wife. Nelson, who I believe Nelson had called in just a little while ago, but unfortunately we weren't able to get a hold of you. Nelson over in St. Augustine, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you. So you had a question for the doctor?
Yeah, just turning 56 this year, and just wondering, is there anything that I need to be worried about? I've been having some type of it's a chest pain, but as long as I take it easy, it goes away. Sometimes I think it's just a muscle I pulled in my chest, and then when I stop at Winn-Dixie or somewhere to check the blood pressure, it seems to be fine. And it seems to get aggravated when I begin to talk a lot. I do a lot of walking on my job. Should I be worried?
Well, let me ask you about your chest pain. Is it something that happens when you exert yourself, you said, or when you said when you're talking, or is it when you're doing things, when you're walking, going up the stairs, or when you're active?
Most of the time when I'm active.
When you're active. What kind of pain is it? Is it pressure? Is it sharp stabbing? How would you describe it?
Like when I breathe.
So it fluctuates when you're breathing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and is it sharp or stabbing, or how do you just characterize it?
No, not sharp. Like a mild pain. I mean,
so if it changes when you're breathing in or out, it's probably not related to the heart. If you have exertional chest pain, which is pain that occurs when you exert yourself, when you're active, and it's pressure on the middle of your chest, it radiates to your left jaw or left arm, and it goes away when you sit down and relax, that's concerning. That requires further testing. You need to go and see your primary care physician, refer to a cardiologist, do a stress test. But there are multiple different sources of chest pain, so it doesn't all have to be because of your heart.
Yes, sir. Now, when I went to the VA, I had my EKG done. They said that everything was fine, but maybe I'm supposed to go Monday at 8 o'clock. Should I recommend, can I get a stress test, or is that going to hurt me? Or
When I look at a patient like yourself coming in with those types of complaints, there's also the issue of risk factors. Do you have high blood pressure?
No,
do you have high cholesterol? Do you have diabetes? Do you have a family history of
– cholesterol is fine.
Do
no
you
diabetes.
Smoke? All these issues play into the equation whether we are concerned or not.
Okay.
But I would definitely touch base with your primary care physician, have him check it out. If he feels like you need to be seen by a cardiologist, by all means.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much, doctor, for your time. Have a blessed day.
Hey, thank you so much, Nelson. I hope you have a very good one. Our topic today is AFib, and we are talking about issues of the heart, basically. Dr. Sippens, how, again, can people get a hold of you? I know we have a break coming up, and we do have time for one more phone call, hopefully, but how can people get a hold of you if they wanted to have your opinion?
Patients can just call my office, set up an appointment directly, which would be absolutely fine. The number to call would be 388-1820. That's our King Street office. There's also an office in Southside where they can see me as well. And by all means, just call the number I told you, 388-1820.
And we do have one more segment coming up. Our topic is AFib. Our guest is Dr. Sippens. Our show is Ask the Doctor, and we are taking your phone calls. I am Tim Tompkins, and this is Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's and News 104.5 WOKV.
Monday morning, so you can plan your day and avoid delays on your way to work, weather, and traffic every 6 minutes, starting at 5 on Jacksonville's Morning News.
There's no place like home. especially when you're not feeling well. Only one hospital system in the region is now offering patients online check-in for emergency room and walk-in clinic visits, with the added convenience of being able to wait from the comfort of your own home. St. Vincent's has made the process easy. Simply visit waitathomeer.com and schedule your visit. When you arrive, we'll see you within 15 minutes, not hours. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
Dear management and staff at St. Vincent's,
there are not enough ways to thank you for all the work you did to save my life.
Your staff really delivered on your mission. Above, beyond, because.
These are actual letters our nurses and associates received from their patients at St. Vincent's.
You're here to help patients, not just to collect a paycheck.
My grandchildren also thank you for saving Papa. That's me.
Tell us about your experience at jackshealth.com. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
The journey is never ending. Beginning in 1513, the historic coast of St. Augustine in Ponte Vedra was first known as
La Florida.
And now, 5 centuries later, El Conquistador, who discovered it all, is back.
Ah, so nice to see you again.
Upon his rearrival, the Spaniard was delighted that the old village had blossomed into the bustling shops and cafes of St. George Street.
Dos hamburguesas, por favor. But I want nothing to do with your French fries.
He then headed to a spa in Ponte Vedra Beach to rejuvenate and for a pedicure.
That tickles.
And after a quick tanning session on the beach,
my lady, may I recommend pure Spanish olive oil instead?
Ooh la la.
El Conquistador returned to his rightful command at Castillo de San Marcos, ready to lead the next generation of Florida's historic coast.
Viva Ponte Vedra! Viva San Agustin!
It takes years for a harmonica player to master the pentatonic scale. Forward. And backward. Mastering the acoustic blues takes years, but it only took a few notes to master depositing checks at a Chase ATM. Select Make a Deposit and insert checks. For an added layer of assurance, your check image can appear on the screen and receipt.
Well, all right.
Technology designed for you, so you can easily master the way you bank. Chase, so you can.
ATM deposits are subject to the fund's availability policy. See a banker for details. JP Morgan Chase Bank NA, member FDIC.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
WOKV First Alert Forecast.
Today is going to be a hot day with a high temperature of 88 degrees. It is a 7 on the WOKV weather meter. There'll be a few showers and storms mainly for inland areas late this afternoon, developing on the sea breeze. Otherwise, mainly dry conditions, especially closer to the beaches. Tonight will be mild and muggy with a low of 69 under partly cloudy skies. Once again for today, a hot day with a high of 88 degrees and just a few showers and thunderstorms for inland areas after 3 o'clock. From the Action News First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Aaron Clanahan, News 104.5 WOKV.
Avoid traffic delays with the News 104.5 app. Powered by Jack Cantania's Westside Hyundai on Cassett Avenue.
It's a free download for all Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to our latest traffic report and check the live traffic map 24/7.
Good. Good afternoon and welcome back to Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's on News 104.5 WOKV. Our topic is AFib and our guest is Dr. Sippens. Dr. Sippens, I had a question for you. A relatively new procedure in the world of AFib is cryoablation, and I was hoping that you could explain a little bit more what that is and why that's something that people should be really excited about.
Well, cryoablation is a relatively new technique where we use freeze energy to ablate atrial fibrillation. What we do when atrial fibrillation occurs is that we try to separate the muscle fibers that sit in the pulmonary veins, which cause AFib, which function as erratic pacemakers, creating very rapid heartbeats. And those muscle fibers need to be electrically isolated from the rest of the left upper chamber, and we can use the cryo balloon to put it in the part of the vein where it just gets into the heart, and we create a freeze burn and electrically separate the muscle fibers by creating a tiny rim of scar around those veins. The exciting part about the cryo balloon is that it's a very straightforward technique where we don't have to use a catheter that we have to manually move around in the left upper chamber, which is the traditional technique with radio frequency energy. And it's very straightforward, it's quicker, it's safe, and it has an excellent efficacy and outcome. We're looking at a 90% success rate after 1 year of providing the treatment. So we're very excited about it. It makes the treatment more straightforward. It's safe, as I stated before. The nice thing about having this technique also is that we...
And so that's the recovery time on that is quicker. One more time before, because we're coming up on a hard break, what's one way that people can get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me by calling our office right next to St. Vincent Riverside, which is 904-388-1820. Feel free to ask for me for a referral. I'd be happy to look at your whole situation.
And thank you so much, Dr. Sippens, for coming on Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's. Same time, same place. Every Saturday at 2 o'clock, I'm Tim Tompkins with News 104.5 WOKV.
FM Atlantic Beach, WOKV Jacksonville.
Streaming live on the iHeartRadio app.
This is News 104.5 WOKV.
Remember when you went from a flip phone to a smartphone? How cool it was? How much better? Well, that's exactly what it's like when you go from an old-style jewelry store to Global Diamonds. The difference is night and day. You see, Global Diamonds is the latest evolution in jewelry retailing, owned by a major diamond wholesaler.